Upon salvation, God begins to make that all thing new in our lives. It's not just a forgiveness of sins. He sets His Spirit within us, and He begins to mold us into the Lord Jesus Christ. It will come to fruition the day that He resurrects us from that grave and we have a brand new glorified body. But folks, it's not just that. Creation will be made brand new. Everything lost in the garden will be restored again, the beauty. I look forward to that time. Look forward to it. It says that Adam and Eve was close to God. Pre-human Jesus Christ, after creation. He would come down in the cool of the evening. He'd fellowship with Him. Randy, do you think He will walk with us in heaven with the millions and millions and millions? I have no idea, but at some point I think it will happen. As we will be close to Him. There was much love in His eyes and intimacy. Yes, we have that intimacy with Him now, but then we won't even be able to compare what it will be like. God was close. Sinful rebellion, oh, it was far away. And Satan had to bring it close, close to that. From that point on, man and sin, rebellion is what we have. And that's what's close to man's heart. And life is dark. And now God must be brought close. In the Garden of Eden, the Shekinah glory of God was there. The intimacy with God was there. Satan had to bring rebellion close. But now in this age that we live in now, it is just all rebellion. And God must be brought close. We hear this in Psalms 13, 1 through 3. How long, Lord? You ever said that? How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? That is David screaming out. It hurts. I'm empty. Can you hear him say that? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day and have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me, Lord, and answer me. Give light to my eyes. May I see you even in the harshness that I'm going through. We find Jesus in our text this morning stepping into our darkness. He has been authenticated through the wilderness temptation. Everything that man has been tempted with and has failed on, Jesus succeeded. Every one of our human passions and desires, our needs and decisions were presented to Jesus as He was had fasted for 40 days, became hungry. Folks, He was weak as He could be. And yet He came out successful. He withstood every sinful, rebellious opportunity and came forth victorious. Out of the light of His glorious victory, the Spirit led Him into the depths of the valley of the shadows and into the lives lived in sinful rebellion. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, 12 through 17. When Jesus heard that John, that would be John the Baptist, had been put in prison, He withdrew to Galilee. That would be Galilee of the Gentiles. Leaving Nazareth, He went and lived in Capernaum and was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. As Isaiah looked down through history, He said, here's where the Messiah is going to start. Right here. We're going to talk about this area. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. For the people living there were in darkness. The Greek is great darkness, blackest darkness. They've seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From then on, Jesus began to preach there in that darkness. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus started in a place that was so dark, so desperate. He didn't go down to Jerusalem and start there. He didn't start in the spiritually strong areas. He went to the darkest area of Israel. And he began to proclaim, I understand. I am here. I am here to bring God close to you. Father, open up our hearts and minds. We may see that we are also in that area sometimes. And he will bring the truth of God close. Open up our understanding, and may you be glorified for your name alone. Amen. We find Jesus stepping into a very dark area at a very dark time. Notice how this area is described by Isaiah. People living in darkness, living in the land of the shadow of death. Folks, does that not describe the world today? It describes it, and it describes our lives at times as well. Think of those who lived in drug-controlled, crime-ridden areas in larger cities, or under the control of brutal armed forces around. No hope. Their options are limited. They feel left alongside the road, broken down. No hope to better yourself. Getting out of. No hope of finding peace. That sounds strange in the land of Israel, doesn't it? These countries were up north, west, and it was somebody, and if only somebody would come and give some truth here. Give me some hope. This was a spiritually dark area. The tribes of Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, they didn't do what God commanded. They failed to remove the Canaanites that were living in that area. They became satisfied. We can make use of them. We can make them slaves. We know how to handle the Canaanites. And plus, it's going to be a real pain to get them out. So we will be satisfied with what we have. They did not drive them out or their influence. And you know what happened? To that day, they struggled with mixed marriages. All of a sudden, their sons and daughters were marrying Canaanite-thinking sons and daughters. And their rulers and the families and their spiritual leaders, they were under this dark cloud of a Canaanite teaching. This region was always the first that was conquered and harassed by their Gentile neighbors. When you read in the Bibles, the Midianites came down and destroyed their crops, there's where it was. There's where it was. When you read that they did it year after year, they didn't take the crops, they didn't take the cattle, they just destroyed them. Year after year. Even their language in this area took itself the tone and sound of their conquerors. They started using their words, their tone, their thinking. We see this in Matthew 26:7-3 when Peter has denied Jesus. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away. The words that you're saying tells us you're from that really dark area up there that we don't even hardly recognize you, Peter." Jesus' hometown of Nazareth even tried to kill him. Spiritually, dark area. But it was also a politically dark area. This area was the hotbed of rebellion, hotbed of resistance and rebellion and political unrest. So the Romans did what Romans do. They stationed a whole bunch of guards there, and they had very little patience with the Jews. They saw anything, it was instant, sometimes take their lives. They hated the hatred for the Roman authority that ruled their lives. Not just they didn't like them, like we have today. Hatred for them. It consumed them. They wanted them gone. And this meant that the Roman authority presence responded harshly. They watched all their every move. They quickly subdued everything harshly. So it was a politically dark area. It was also an economically dark area. The Roman way of controlling rebellion was taxation. You got taxed when you went from one city to the other. You got taxed when you went over one bridge to another. You got taxed when you brought food in, when you brought food out. They kept them economically suppressed. And as a result, crime was rampant in that area. Farms were being lost because they couldn't pay the taxes. It was a politically, economically dark area. Crime gangs were rampant. You don't think of them in the Bible time. They were rampant. It was dangerous to go up on the roads by yourself because it's economically dark. It made it dangerous to move around and through the area. But folks, there was an identity dark area. Galilee of the Gentiles was physically a long way from Jerusalem. A long way from the temple. They couldn't just go and offer their sacrifices. It was a 2 to 4 day journey, hard journey to get there, the center of Jewish worship. They were looked down upon by those from the south, judged. They were less than us. They were looked upon negatively. You might have had this in your life as well. You see, John 1:45-46, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." 46, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? That was the mindset of those in the southern part of Israel. Can anything good come from that area? Philip, being wise, said, "Come and see." Jesus will speak for himself. Maybe you find yourself included in one of these dark areas today. Spiritually dark. It seems like God is 100 miles away. It seems like his voice doesn't even care. Financially, it just seems to be pressing upon you over and over. Maybe the family you raised in, you carry a name that in some areas you wish it hadn't. Politically as well. I want you to know Jesus longs to step into your darkness too with his message of hope and acceptance. Into this darkness, Jesus brings God the Father close. Do you see that? He went into the dark area. He brought God the Father close to them. Satan had to bring the rebellion close. Now Jesus brings God into their darkness. He isn't standing on the outside of Galilee going, "Hey, Galileans, you need to do better. Hey, Galileans, if you hadn't been doing this for all these many years, this wouldn't be happening to you. Hey, Galileans, get your act together." He didn't do that. What did he do? He went in and lived in Capernaum. He brought God close to them so that they could see him in their darkness. We find in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. The Greek actually says he pitched his tent. Jesus took his tent and he pitched it in the darkness of Galilee of the Gentiles. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus stepped into their darkness, not to judge them, but to bring them full, meaningful, and abundant life, even in that darkness, in there. We find that Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy." That's what he was doing in Galilee of the Gentiles. Stealing, killing, and destroying, taking all hope. But he said, "I have come that you may have life." Even there. Have life and have it full and meaningful and abundant. Jesus brings God the Father close to them. Close to them. He provides the light of truth for those living in that darkness. Can you imagine as his reputation, if you will, is getting known, all of a sudden people are looking at him going, "Maybe there's hope for me. Maybe there's hope for me in my sickness. Maybe there's hope for me in my brokenness. Maybe there's hope for me in my demon possession. Maybe there's hope that God still loves me." and a light shone, and it shone bright. He brings the Father's voice close enough for us to hear. Close enough for us to hear. We find what he did in verses 23 and 5. Jesus went throughout that area. This is amazing, guys. He didn't call, come listen to me. I'm going to be right here. Y'all come. No, he went to them in all the synagogues and the areas that he went, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom has come for you guys. Galilee of the Gentiles, it is coming for you guys. And to demonstrate that, he healed every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over around Syria. People brought him all who with various diseases. Is God here for me? This. And in this, those suffering severe pain, all who were ill with various diseases, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed, and he healed them all. He didn't say, no, you've been too bad. He didn't say, you've got too much sin. He didn't say, I don't really like you, you're ugly. He didn't do that. He healed them all. So much was it known that large crowds from Galilee to Decapolis, that's a 10-city area, Jerusalem, Judea, all the way south to across the Jordan, they followed him. Can you imagine what it was like to see this light of God close? Not down in Jerusalem. We expected that. But in my darkness, I hear the voice of God. I hear Jesus speaking that there's a place for me. Hear Jesus say, God the Father has not forgotten or discarded you. The church in Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem, they discarded him. We have no use for them. When they came down for the great feast that they have to do several times a year, they would be outside in their tents. They weren't really included in all the main. They were there to satisfy what the law says, but those living in Jerusalem kept them secluded. God the Father has not forgotten you. He has not discarded you. If you hear nothing else this morning, that's your word. That is your word. And he says to them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And some of you are going, oh, here's the repentance stuff again. The Jewish mindset would have heard the word return. Return, for the kingdom of heaven has come close to you. Those who you are far off, that you feel like you've been forgotten, return. You've been wandering in spiritual darkness, return. You've been struggling with life issues. Return. You've forgotten who you are. Return. They would have heard, return to Torah. Return to the Word of God and begin living it again. There's a place for you. The Father is waiting for you. Return. The Father has not forgotten you, even though you think he has. The Father has not discarded you just because you are not as spiritual as others seem to be. The Father has not discarded you because you're from this family or that family, or you've done this or you've done that. Return to me, hear you say, by returning to the truth of my word. Let my word define you. Let my word strengthen you. Let my word rise you up out of that darkness. You may still be living there, but you don't have to live in it. Let me rise up. Luke 15, verse 20, the Father. Will God the Father really accept me? The prodigal son father gave him his share of the inheritance, went off to a foreign land, squandered it all, wound up feeding pigs, wishing that he could eat what they were eating. He didn't smell good. He didn't look good. But he decided, my servants in my father's house are better off than me. Maybe I can go home. Verse 20, he got up and went. to his father, but while he was a long way off. What was his father doing? He was looking down the road. My son's going to come back sometime. My son is going to come back, and I am ready for him. His father saw him, and filled with compassion, he ran to his son. Do you know what he had to do to run? He had to hike up that road. He showed his knees, folks. That was despicable back then. Showed his knees. And this old man with his rickety knees, I can see that right now, his rickety hurting knees ran down the road to this son that did not look like his son, did not smell like his son. Threw his arms around him and kissed him. That's what the Father wants to do to Galilee of the Gentiles. That's what the Father longs to do for you. For you. The person of Jesus Christ is described in verse 16 as a great light. A light in the shadow of death. He still shines today through the Word of God. John 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Folks, to say that, he is either a lunatic or the Messiah. You make your choice. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in total darkness again, but will have the light of life living within them. Yes, life can get dark as a Christian. Yes, life can get confusing as a Christian, but we are never, as we were saying, we don't walk it alone. John 18, verse 37, as Jesus is standing before Pilate. Pilate is really trying to intimidate Jesus, but you know, it did not work. When Jesus knew he was going to the cross, it did not work. He could have called a legion of angels to get him out of this. He knew where he's going. Pilate said, are you a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate's response was this, what is truth? He missed it, folks. He missed it. Do not miss this morning that Jesus Christ is the truth by which we live by. Jesus Christ is the truth by which we fashion our lives and we fashion our response and we fashion our hope and we look forward to in that time when he will call us home. It is the truth of Jesus Christ that brings us up out of the darkness, out of the valley of the shadow. And folks, it's found in what we call the Bible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. The blessing of it this morning. As we saw how you took this area of darkness and you brought the Word of God back to it. You took this area of darkness that was hopeless and you brought hope to it. You brought hope to the disease. You brought hope to the broken. You brought hope to the demon-possessed. You brought hope to all of those who came. That was the only hope they had, and it was you. Father, the folks in Jerusalem pretty well missed it. But these people in darkness did not. Lord, I'm going to ask that you allow the Spirit now to touch the hearts of everyone here. There's some that are battling with some darkness today. Maybe that's anxiety. Maybe that's depression. Maybe that's things that they see coming up. Confusion, questions. There's some struggling with identity today. Carrying maybe a history of family, history of failures maybe, that they no longer need to carry. It's not their load. Maybe there's some today that just, they struggle with seeing themselves as victorious. Father, your Spirit can give that image of them to them. May they see themselves lifted up and seated at the right hand of Jesus, as the Scripture says. We get to battle above the fray, not in it. So, Father, now I pray that we respond to you. Not me, not my words. You respond to you as they come to these altars. and leave their darkness there. As they come to the altars and they leave their failures there. As they come to the altar and they return in repentance and receive you as Savior, leave their past there. And Lord, I thank you for what you'll do, for your glory alone. Amen.